Time to talk some technology on the 100% Hunter Breakfast Show. Jeff Quattromani joins us as always. How are you, mate?
I'm really well. How are you?
Not too bad. An interesting thing that you wanted to have a chat about today is a digital legacy, starting with our iPhone in particular. What do you mean when you say digital legacy?
Yeah, it's a good question because I think, you know, so many of us have got passwords or codes on our phone now, and for a lot of good reason, actually, to have those in place. But the sad reality is that if, for example, one of us was to pass away and somebody then wants to get into the phone, perhaps to look at, you know, photos that you had taken on that device before you ever had the chance to back them up or anything like that, or even just for other reasons of checking messages if required, that's something you can't do when you've got a passcode on your phone. So Apple is going to be rolling out a feature soon that allows you to add a legacy contact. And that's going to be, you know, someone who you trust that if you do pass away, they could then get access to your phone and to your iCloud if necessary. So just a bit of a digital backup in some ways.
Sort of something that you could allocate to the executor of your will?
You could do it through your will. What you actually can do, especially if the other person doesn't have an iPhone, is you can create what's called a legacy code. And that is then something that you print out and you could then attach to your will or into those legal documents that's then given to somebody so they can then access your iCloud and things like that should the time come.
Is it only iPhone that are doing this?
At this stage, it's just Apple doing it, but we've also seen social media platforms like Facebook have now added a very similar feature where, you know, if something was to happen, you can assign particular contacts that can have access to your Facebook profile, access to your messages and the photos that you had there, and even you can actually schedule a pinned post. So say, for example, you want to prepare for things to come, you can actually have a post scheduled and ready to go that if your death certificate is actually given to Facebook, that it would automatically post that message and then actually memorialize your account, which I guess locks it and really makes it look more like a remembrance page rather than an active Facebook page.
That's an interesting one. You mentioned it. I think about my old mum's Facebook page. She didn't do a lot with it, but she had one. She passed away in 2014, and it still rolls around when her birthday pops up each year. So I could go to Facebook and say, if I had proof, I could ask them to basically shut it down?
It's not necessarily shutting it down. I mean, you could do that if you wanted to remove the page entirely, but when you put it in a memorialized mode, it just means that it's actually going into a state of not so much being active that they can be participated with anymore, or you could send them a message. So it really just allows you to see that page and know that that person has passed away, especially if it's somebody who maybe wasn't friends with them before and they look them up on Facebook, they'd see a remembrance page rather than an active page to add them as a friend.
That's actually a really nice one because when mum's birthday post rolls round, the rest of the family, we see that and we put up an acknowledgement. You know, we miss you, mum, we love you, all that sort of thing. So, yeah. It is nice to be able to have that, to be able to remember them because invariably there are photos of her there. So it's a nice way to remember each year. So I think I would prefer to have the memorial than just to take it down.
Yeah, completely agree. And I think, you know, a lot of us have built up quite a bit of a list of photos and posts on there, especially through all the times that we've shared on Facebook, whether it's marriages, births and things like that. So you do really want that to be there for when your kids and their kids eventually go and look at these things. So, you know, I think as we started to join social media, we probably didn't even think about the fact that at some point we actually leave social media and what that footprint looks like when we do go away. So yeah, this is starting to become a more important thing, I think.
Are you expecting all of the social medias to adopt something similar? I know on Twitter, for example, if somebody passes away, I see these messages pop up from their wife on their account saying, sorry to let everybody know, but such and such has passed away. They really enjoyed being a part of Twitter.
Yeah, look, absolutely. This will start to come to all platforms. And we talked about iPhone. You would expect Android to do the same thing very shortly as well. Yeah. It's been funny. I think we've all been born into this digital era starting up, that now we're actually starting to think of what it looks like after the fact. So, yeah, we're all sort of maturing at the same pace, it seems.
It's interesting that our digital life has a cycle as well, it seems.
It does. And look, I think that the only other thing I'll probably say to this is people need to be probably careful in terms of who they add as a legacy contact, because Maybe you don't want your wife going into your Facebook or your iPhone after you pass away.
I'm not going to say anything about that under the grounds that I could get in all sorts of bother. Jeff Quattromani, as always, mate, thank you very much for your technological advice.
My pleasure. Thank you.